Hello, my name is Elizabeth Porowski and I'm the Communications Manager for Alicat Allies. Stray and feral cats are no stranger to college and university campuses. The concentrated residence, multiple dining halls, and compassion of students and faculty alike make these mini towns ideal for some feral cat colonies. Many schools have active trap-neuter return programs and make up Alicat Allies' network of Cats on Campus programs. Though these programs can exist under a university's radar for multiple years, we have found, as true with almost any colony, a concern or issue with the cats can prompt a knee-jerk reaction from administration. Today, we will talk about the recent case at Towson University and how their unofficial program gained university support. I am joined by Towson University professors Dr. Meg Algren and Professor Lisa Turkowski. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
It's an honor.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the Cats on Towson's campus?
I first got involved with Cats on Campus many years ago when I just started feeding them. They were hanging out outside of the building where my office is located, actually living underneath the building. And I felt sorry for them one winter day and went up to the Royal Farm Store and bought some food, and the rest is history. We've been feeding ever since.
I got involved with the cats primarily through my colleague and teaching friend, Lisa. I bumped into her one day, I'd just started at Towson, and saw her feeding the cats and asked her what she was doing, and she explained the deal to me, and I thought, well, hey, I agree. They may be wild, but that doesn't mean they need to suffer.
Can I add something there?
Of course.
There was a point when Meg and I had a small discussion of whether we were doing the right thing by feeding them. We were wondering if we were prolonging. You know, we know that animals who live outside probably don't have long lifespans, and we were wondering if we were actually, you know, prolonging an agonizing, you know, inevitable end for them, you know, or not. So we had that small discussion, but then we decided, you know what, if they don't have to worry about food, then short life, long life, it's better for them.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's actually a common misconception that feral cats have a shorter lifespan. Research has shown that strained feral cats can live just as long as indoor cats. It's a stigma that's partially perpetuated by the media, but it just isn't true. Was there a specific issue that got the university administration's attention, and what was the university's initial reaction?
I think probably what brought this thing to a head, and we had been feeding kind of a don't ask, don't tell sort of situation. Some people knew about it in the administration, but we had to sneak around at night feeding. We had to sneak around trapping, neutering, and returning. And we had no mandate, we had no permission. What brought the cat situation to a head on campus was when one of the workers cornered a kitten and got bitten. And then the university, the facilities management department, had a very archaic and short-sighted solution. They were just going to trap all the cats and kill them, which was absurd. It'd be like trapping all the squirrels and killing them. What would that do? 2 weeks later, you'd have as many cats back on campus as you would squirrels if you tried the whole thing. So that was what brought it to a head when they started trying to trap to kill. I was able to stop them with a student who saw them putting the traps down for the first night. And we blocked the traps being set, and then we began negotiating with Dr. Sheehan, who's the vice president.
I know that you're a tenured professor. I'm sure that helped with your confidence in confronting the trapping situation.
Yes, actually, tenure made me feel much more comfortable in taking a strong position as an advocate for the cats. If you don't have tenure at a university, things can become difficult, pressures can be put on you, but my job was protected. I was not going to get fired over the cats. They legally couldn't fire me over the cats, so I felt I could be an advocate and a very outspoken advocate.
When speaking to administration, would you recommend having a spokesperson who has obvious job security or some kind of administrative clout, even if that requires recruiting new supporters for the Cats on Campus program?
I think definitely the point person needs to be a tenured individual on campus.
I can't say for sure that you know, my job would have been in jeopardy if I had, you know, created waves, you know, caused a stir. But it was on the back burner. You know, you want to be on people's radar, but in a good way.
I know when you originally called administration about the trapping, you kept moving up in the ranks until you reached the vice president of administration. What was his reaction when he found out about the situation?
I was kind of surprised because I hadn't expected that sort of openness on the administration's part. But Jim Sheehan listened for 20 minutes while I explained the situation and then said, all right, fine, give me a packet of information and we'll stop the trapping temporarily. I had not expected that kind of cooperation. I thought I'd have to do much more of a campaign to get the university administration open to the idea.
After the initial conversation, did you set up a face-to-face meeting to present the packet? What exactly was the next step?
I put together a packet of information and delivered it to his office. He said he'd take a look at it and then set up an appointment once he had time to take a look at it. But at the same time, I was getting a lot of suggestions and support from the cat community. Certainly you guys, Alley Cat Allies, provided great information. Your website provided tremendous amounts of information that were necessary to show the legitimacy of TNR as a way to manage a feral cat population. And then Campus Ferals, which is another listserv that I'm on, was just extremely supportive and had great suggestions. People across the world were coming up with things that I could or should or perhaps could try. And then I was very lucky in that the Baltimore feral cat community, Community Cats Maryland, as well established and was able to provide help when I needed it too.
I think one of the things that surprised me was just how many organizations are out there, you know, working on the same issue, because in the beginning we kind of thought we were the only campus, you know, the only group, you know, dealing with anything like this. And then once the word got out and, you know, Meg got on the listserv, it was just kind of phenomenal, you know, how many organizations there really are and how many other campuses have feral cat populations. One of the things also I wanted to mention, we said, you know, maybe we should just, if we're going to kill all the cats, just kill all the squirrels. And we had had, Meg and I had had that discussion, you know, before also. We were wondering, well, just what threat do the cats, you know, pose on campus? You know, are they diseased? Have they bitten, you know, students? And what we found out was no, there have been no reports, you know, of cat bites. Squirrel bites, you know, are more likely, but no one's posed, you know, the question, well, let's trap all the squirrels and get rid of them, right? You know, exterminate them. You know, so why the cats?
I know the Towson University cats had a lot of outside support, even from off campus, and that put some pressure on the university. How did the area feral cat and TNR community support you?
Well, when we were faced with the trapping and killing of the cats on campus, of course, I got on my listservs and I said, help, help, help. Somebody had this situation. How did you handle it? What do I do? And the support that I got included, somebody put on a petition on Care2, and it was loaded with signatures within 24 hours. And being able to get the moral support that I needed. Additionally, being able to say to Dr. Sheehan that, you know, if you need to talk to someone, Alley Cat Allies will talk to you. I can get representatives from the Humane Society. I can get representatives from Community Cats Maryland to talk to you. And that kind of legitimacy, that kind of support establishes TNR as a legitimate way to manage a feral cat population. To find out that most major cities either have it or are going to be doing TNR programs, that there are campuses throughout the United States that have TNR programs, that it is an established and well-researched method that shows it is an effective way to manage feral cat populations. It really resonated well with Dr. Sheehan. We're an academic environment. And the information and the legitimacy and the research that proved the system works went a long way in convincing the administration.
Lisa, would you like to add anything?
The university has a slogan, a motto, you know, whatever we'd like to call it, that we're thinking outside. So one of the things that Dr. Ogren had brought up, you know, to the administration was, well, why don't we take the lead? You know, why don't we think outside and not handle this situation problem in a traditional way by trapping and killing, but rather, you know, by doing something progressive, something good for the cats, for us, for the environment, getting students involved, you know, and really, you know, put our you know, the money where our mouths are, and show that we are capable of thinking, you know, outside, so to speak.
And actually what's come out of this whole process is a student group is going to be put together under Dr. Sheehan's urging to get a student group involved in establishing the program here. Additionally, I am putting together a class that I'll be teaching on grassroots public relations and activism to show how a small group of people can have a voice that makes an impact in a situation, on an issue.
Wow, that's really fantastic. I know that your official program is in the beginning stages, but how are you financing the spay neuter, and how were you able to find resources in this area?
Well, right now we're using a $700 anonymous donation that we were able to get. And additionally, we got another $150 from a fellow whose cat we trapped, and were able to return to him. And he was so grateful that he gave us a donation of $150. So we have a kitty. And what we'll be doing is exploring other ways to have a sustainable budget. And that includes being able to raise money on campus. The student organization, once it gets recognized by the Student Government Association, is able to do fundraising on campus and fundraising in the community. That's going to help us tremendously. It will also give us a legitimate way to go out and talk to PetSmarts and Petcos in the area and ask for food donations, because we are a legitimate organization that's authorized by Towson University.
Meg's not taking a lot of the credit for her out-of-pocket expenses, you know, in this program too. I've incurred very, very small compared to what she's done. But before we got the $700, you know, anonymous donation and the $150, you know, et cetera, most of that money for the neutering, vaccinations, et cetera, came out of Meg's pocket. So she needs to.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you. And that's another reason for getting the students involved, because if we use the low-cost spay-neuter clinic available for TNR at the Baltimore SPCA, if we have student volunteers involved, the price goes from $20 to $10. So it's important for us to recruit students and have them serve as volunteers. It will stretch those dollars much further and give the students an opportunity to do something good for themselves and for the community.
Actually, a significant amount of Cats on Campus programs originated at veterinary schools, or schools that had a veterinary program, where they were able to use their staff and train senior students to perform spay-neuter on the cats. But for you guys, Maryland is a great area to be in for spay-neuter resources.
Unfortunately, there is no vet program at the University of Maryland, because that was something that I was hoping to hook into and then found out that there wasn't. Pennsylvania was an opportunity, but having Baltimore so close and having so many supportive services for feral cats, that as long as that's available, we're going to utilize it.
For any campuses interested in starting a program and looking for feral cat neutering resources, Alley Cat Allies has a network of feral friends all over the country, including veterinary professionals. You can request a list of feral friends in your area at alleycat.org/response. Not all veterinarians are trained to work with feral cats, so it's very important to find veterinarians with experience. But honestly, more and more clinics and even private practices are providing services thanks to the popularity of trap neuter return and programs like Towson's. Not only are they helping the community, they're also opening up to a whole new client base.
Meg, didn't you talk to a veterinarian who was interested in more social responsibility, aspect of her profession, and really knew nothing about the TRAP, neuter release program?
She was a new vet at a practice in the area, and actually treated one of the feral cats that had gotten sick, and. I told her what the deal was, and she was very excited, gave me her card. She had been involved in TNR when she was at Syracuse, I believe, and was very eager to get involved because she said it's her social responsibility as a vet to do this. So I passed her name along, and I believe she signed up and is doing TNR work for one of the clinics here in town.
It's really as easy as mentioning this program and your work with cats to help recruit volunteers and just help educate.
Being able to go legitimate has allowed us the opportunity. I have found people in the business department now, in the psychology department, that I would never have been able to find because you couldn't ask around.
You'd be surprised how many people care for stray and feral cats. A national survey found that more than 40% of Americans have fed a stray cat. Unfortunately, there is a stigma associated with caring for cats, so not that many people are talking about it.
Well, particularly on campus, I think that people didn't understand how the administration felt about it. And it might have been considered something that you shouldn't be doing. But now that it's sanctioned by the administration, people are literally coming out of the closets, out of the cat closets.
I think people don't realize also that there are other people who are interested and, feel the same way they do, and we just don't realize. I mean, every now and then we'd see like a little bowl of food sitting somewhere. Oh, I wonder who's doing that. We just always thought we were the only ones. And as far as getting the word out, we were thinking, let's meet students where they live anyway and maybe set up a Facebook, group. So that's on my do list. Maybe I'll get a student involved to help me with that.
Is there any key advice you'd give to other campuses facing the same situation?
Information. The more information that, and I don't mean information overload, but legitimate information that speaks to the effectiveness of TNR, the healthiness of most cat colonies, the safety involved in feral cat management. Anything that you can do to convince the administration that you're not a crazy cat lady, that these are facts and figures, it's a proven method that works, and it's in practice in many, many cities in the United States and campuses across the world, the legitimacy makes the administration, at least made this administration, feel much more comfortable with the idea.
And I think this is also something that students, once they find out, they get really excited about being able to do something, very practical and beneficial, on their own campus. And I think there's one real practical reason for us, too, just to be, wanting to help, the cats on campus. We used to complain about our mice population in this building and our building across the way there. I haven't seen hide nor hair of any mice, but for years. Since we've been feeding and this colony has been really living up in this area where our building is.
And the fact that you can take this and make it into a learning experience, this grassroots, I would never have thought about doing a grassroots activism class in public relations until we got involved in this and the students were so excited about how it all came about. They said, wow, we have a lot of power in public relations. I said, yes. It dawned on me, take advantage of this opportunity to show students what they can do, what their profession can do legitimately with issues that need to be brought to the forefront of people's attention.
Trap neuter return groups are also a great outlet for students who can't have pets but still have animals. They can still be involved without actually having to own an animal. I'd like to thank you both for joining me today and sharing your advice and expertise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To learn more about Alley Cat Allies Cats on Campus program and to join our Campus Ferals listserv, please visit www.alleycat.org/campuscats.